Bonjour à tous, bienvenue.
Good morning everyone and thank you for joining this conference call. Thomas Bourbeau, Chief Executive of AXA, will presenting this. Gérard Alchien, Deputy CEO and CFO. The presentation will be followed by a Q&A session during which will be involved a number of members of Management Committee, Jacques Peretti, CEO of AXA France, Antimo Perretta, CEO of AXA Europe, Jean-Christophe Stenfield, Deputy CEO and Secretary General of the Group, and Alban de Mayenel, Risk and Investment Director. Thomas, over to you. Thank you, Julien. Good morning to everyone. Welcome to the presentation of the AXA Group for the first half 2019. 2018 had been a year where we saw a lot of action, a decisive year in our transformation process. As you can see on slide 5, the first half of 2019 increased a very positive trend in which we found ourselves. The figures for 2019 and of this first half do confirm that the implementation is going quite well. We are performing, and the strategy is paying off. In the first half, the growth of the organic growth was confirmed. We are increasing our revenues by 4% at 58 billion, driven by our targeted segments. This growth was extremely profitable. Our underlying earnings see 7% strong growth at 3.6 billion underlying earnings by share, which is a key an indicator for our ambition for 2020, is up by 10% at 1.46 euro. These results were obtained thanks to our targeted segments and geographies, but also thanks to the very good first half of AXA XL, as you will be seeing later on. Our balance sheet remains solid. Our solvency ratio amounts to 190%. Within our range, which is the targeted range. All in all, these good figures show that we're implementing in a strict manner a relevant strategy which is bearing fruits, and we are focusing on our priorities with a lot of resolve. On slide 6, you can see that the growth momentum that was triggered last year continued in the first half. Our revenues are up by 4% to 58 billion euros. It was driven by the momentum of the targeted segments, which we chose to develop as part of our strategic plan, plus 6% in P&C commercial lines. This segment represents today 42% of the group's revenues. You can see here to what extent the acquisition of AXA XL has allowed us to speed up the transformation of our business mix. Health sees a growth of 5%, continuing its organic growth, which is dynamic, and protection is up by 3%. For AXA, as you can see on slide 7, this transformation is taking place for the benefit of profitability. The combined ratio is at good levels. These good figures show that we have made good progress in our transformation since the presentation of our strategic plan in June 2016. It shows also the ability of AXA to focus on its priorities and, what is even more important, to deliver. This is what we have achieved again at the start of this year, as you can see it on slide 8. In February, I had told you that the integration of AXA XL was a priority. At AXA XL, the commercial momentum turned out to be very favorable. Higher revenues stood at plus 9% in the half year. The rising trend of prices has been shored up in most of our lines. This growth momentum turned out to be profitable. The contribution of AXA XL to underlying results of AXA is at 502 million during this half year. The complementarity between the expertise of AXA XL and the distribution power of AXA is a real asset. we already see the synergies of revenues. Together, we are gaining business and we are better at knowing our customers. To continue the AXA integration, of AXA XL, it was one of our priorities that was announced. As you can see, we did make good progress. We made progress as well when it comes to our other priorities. As you can see on slide 9, we continue to cut down on our stake in AXA Equitable Holdings. After the divestitures in March and June, we reduced further our economic stake down to 30% against 59% at the end of 2018. We also, as scheduled, continued with the deleveraging of the group, and our gearing ratio will be going down to 30% at the end of the summer. We still intend to bring it down between 28% to 28% for the end of 2020. Lastly, we extended our payer-to-partner strategy, as you can see on slide 10. In regard to health, now we created in emerging countries an innovative ecosystem which combines health centers with health insurance solutions. Our ambition is clearly to contribute to each and everyone access to health. Our strength is to be able to adjust everywhere to the specific needs of our customers. In PNC Commercial Lines, we have developed offers where we provide advice. Risks are becoming increasingly large and complex. Our customers, our commercial lines customers, want effective cover, and this is why our size and our expertise allow us to provide them that. However, they also want advice in order to better prepare themselves for the risks every day. This is the meaning of our peer-to-partner strategy, supporting our customers and better meet their requirements. These unique expertises which we are developing, we are also making them available to society as large, as you can see on slide 11. A large corporation, first of all, has a key role to play in society. The best means to do so is to make sure to be efficient and share these expertises. This is why we are highly committed in fighting against climate change, a risk which we know extremely well. For years, we've taken strong measures in favor of the climate, and we will continue to do so. This year, we extended our action in order to protect biodiversity, since this is a component of protection of the climate, which is significant. We have also been involved very much in the health sector, which will see an unprecedented transformation under the effect of the technological revolution and of the aging of the population. We must think about how we can use these technologies in order to better protect the vulnerable populations by promoting social inclusion. This is the meaning behind what we have carried out by helping public authorities in fighting against medical deserts, as we call them, as you will see this on slide 12. AXA proves again its ability to transform itself. By excluding AXA Equitable Holdings, we see that 82% of our pre-tax underlying earnings come from PNC Health and Protection. It was 66% just 2 years ago at the same time. We have strong positions in order to continue our development. We are on track to deliver our transformation process. We are also on track towards the goals of our strategic plan Ambition 2020, as you can see on slide 13. You know extremely well now these financial objectives of our plan. I would like to note that a very good performance of our underlying earnings per share, which is increasing by 10%, I will now turn it over to Gérard Arlin.
Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas, and good morning to you all. May I suggest we begin with slide 15 in France. France is experiencing excellent performance with revenues up by 3%, supported in particular by health plus 6% and protection by 3%. Also, we can note the excellent profitability of the operations in P&C with a combined ratio of 90.8%, down by 2.9 points. Also, you can note a reduction of the health combined ratio, and this has made it possible to have underlying earnings up 7%, reaching €873 million. If we move now on to Europe, page 16, AXA in Europe has also had an excellent first half, underlying earnings up 4%, and this revenues up by 2%, driven by P&C commercial lines at 4%, and also by health at plus 3%, and this commercial dynamic, accompanied by improving the profitability of our P&C activity, you see that the combined ratio is down by 1.1 points, and the same in health, where the combined ratio is down by 0.8 points. All this allows Europe, despite the decline of the investments, a rise of underlying earnings by 4% to 1.3 billion. If we move on now to Asia, on slide 17, revenues up by 5%, driven by all the segments and supported also by technical improvements. And the underlying earnings in Asia are up by 8% to €620 million. In the international region, this is slide 18. The revenues are up 6%, supported by the growth of countries such as Mexico, plus 12%, Turkey, plus 22%, Colombia, plus 10%. And you will note, too, a strong, robust growth in our profitable technical profitability with a combined ratio of 98.4%. And the growth of the revenues and an excellent improvement of our technical ratios explains the excellent performance of the international region with underlying earnings, which, as you can see on the left-hand side of the page, up 16% to €240 million. AXA IM now. This is slide 19. The group's net inflows have been €4 billion thanks to the integration of AXA XL, and AXA under management is at €123 billion, up €75 billion, and gross revenues down by 8% because the transaction commissions. And the reduction of costs compensates also the reduction of the commissions, and underlying earnings are down by 12% to €123 million. If we move now to slide 20, AXA XL. AXA XL had an excellent first half. Revenues are up 9%, supported in particular by the P&C plus 15% and specialties at 6% and P&C reinsurance at 2%. You note also that there's been a renewing and affirming pricing circle for insurance at plus 5% and reinsurance plus 2.4%, and the trend is continuing in most of our geographies. And this general rise of revenues and the growth of volumes and the materialization of the first synergies have made it possible for AXA XL to have underlying earnings of €502 million. If we move now to page 21, for the United States. Here in the US, as you know, we have continued to reduce our stake in Aqua Equitable Holdings, and we've gone from 60 to 31%. And with the reduction of the business in March and June of this year, with a higher IPO introduction rate, and this is now under the equity method, the decline of the underlying earnings from 465 million to 283 million euros, as you can see on the left-hand side of the slide, showed the reduced ownership, and the underlying earnings of Aquaector Holdings has increased by 1%. If we move now to the summary of our earnings and the indicators for our financial strength, and I suggest we move now to slide 23. In the first half, AXA's had excellent underlying performance. The underlying earnings are up by 7% to 3.6 billion euros, driven in all our geographies. And note too the excellent performance of AXA XL, which has contributed to the group's results by 502 million euros. On slide 24, we have the adjusted earnings, and the adjusted earnings is the benchmark for calculating the dividend, has increased by 8% and stands now at 4 billion euros, thanks to the rise of 7% of our underlying earnings and the net added value of the first of capital gains of 386 million euros. It's slide now 25 with the net income and shareholders' equity. Net income is down by 19% to 2.3 billion euros. In particular, driven by two technical factors. The first is the unfavorable variance of the derivatives, you see, minus 767 euros, and in the impact of the deconsolidation of Aqua Equitable at 705 euros. And this means the application of bookkeeping rules and the take into account the market impact. This has absolutely no impact on the cash. You will note, too, on the right-hand side of this same slide, that shareholders' equity that reflects the value of the company is up by 4.3% at 66.7 billion euros. And our position in the market is recorded in a net situation, hence the plus 2.4 million euros, and does not include the technical margins. If we move now to the next slide, page 26, I would like to underscore the robustness of our Solvency II ratio. You see on the left-hand side, it is at 193% and is really right in the card for our target between 170 and 220%. On the right-hand side, you see that the three rating agencies, Standard & Poor's, Moody's and Fitch, give us excellent financial robust ratings, and all the ratings have gone back to the same level as before the acquisition of XL, which is a very positive indication of our financial robustness. And to conclude, slide 27, I'm giving you the general account invested assets. Note on this slide that our assets, which at 547 billion euros, are chiefly invested in govies, which represent, on the left-hand side, which represent 43% of our assets, and have an average rating of AA. Whereas the corporate bonds, which represent in blue 31% of our assets, have an average rating of simple A. In the first half, we invested 28 billion euros in bonds at an average rate of 2%. And I would like to underscore the importance for the group of having with AXA IM the alternative privilege access to privileged favors, with the ABS in particular, with 123 billion euros in alternatives. AXA IM is a European leader in alternative management. And I will now hand back to Thomas for conclusion.
Thank you, Gerald. As you have seen, the first half 2019 has proven the relevance of AXA's strategy and its strict implementation. Dynamic growth of all the targeted segments and of the geographies, very good operational performance, very good AXA XL half year, which contributes significantly to the group's results. In other words, we are on track in our transformation towards the targets of the 2020 ambition plan. Thank you very much. We are now available for your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask a question, please press 01 on your keyboard.
Question from Catherine Shea from Insurance Sensatie. Madam, please go ahead.
Hi there, it's Catherine Shea here from the Insurance Insider. I wonder if you could give any further detail on the non-CAT large losses which you've disclosed in the AXA XL results and what impact that had on the combined ratio, and whether you saw any loss creep in the half as other carriers have done from Jebi and other CAT events.
Thank you very much, Catherine, for your question. I suggest that Gérald will answer them on the non-CAT large losses and the impacts of Jebi.
I'll start first with the impact of JB, because the impact of JB is after the first consolidation of AXA XL. I remind you that we first consolidated XL in Q4. In 2019, in the first half, we had some impacts, negative impact, I would say, with a high level of large losses, but which was offset by some release in terms of reserves coming from the CAT events, Hurricane Michael, that took place in Q4 2018. And as well on the wildfire in California. So these two elements more or less are offset, which means that in the end, it would be more or less neutral.
Okay, thank you.
And take also into consideration the fact that we start benefiting, but it's also for the future, but we start benefiting from this strong rate increase across the board on all the lines, including insurance and reinsurance of AXA XL.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Qu'il y a d'autres questions.
Are there any further questions?
Prochaine question de Madame.
Next question
Breman.
From Mrs. Journal Breman.
Madame, c'est à vous.
Over to you.
Votre micro est ouvert, vous pouvez poser votre question.
Your mic is open. Over to you. Your mic is open.
Madame Breman.
Mrs. Breman, your mic is open. You may go ahead. Thank you. I have a first question regarding AXA XL. Can you hear me? I would like to know, since the second half 2018 had been extremely intense in terms of natural disasters and had weighed down on AXA XL, could we have an idea about the first half of 2019? Was it tame compared to the average? Thank you for your question. I suggest that Alban de Mayenel answer your question. As regards AXA XL, the first half was in line with the average we can see in the past few years, so not very difficult nor easy for that matter. I had another question regarding AXA IM. Could we get an explanation on the lower fees and revenues that was mentioned early on by Mr. Arlin? Gérard Arlin will give you further details. Well, listen, this translates into the average fees and revenues. As you know, all asset management companies suffered, especially in the first half, due to the fact that there's a product mix which is less favorable than before. There are fewer shares, more bonds, and as you know, fees are lower in that case. So therefore, we experience a drop in fees. Average fees represent just more than a little bit than 17 basis points. Here we are just below 17, so that slight decrease accounts for these lower results of 16 million euros, mainly, I would say. However, don't forget that with AXA IM, and this is why I indicated it, the strength of AXA IM is also alternatives. And in terms of alternatives, we have positive cash flows, and with alternatives, margins are much higher. And to end, remember, it's precisely in periods where rates are extremely low that there's strong demand for alternative instruments. Moving to the next question.
Merci. Prochaine question de...
Thank you. Next question from Julien Marion from Penchot. Yes, good morning. I'd just like to detail you, what's the combined ratio for P&C for last year in order to have an element of comparison for this first half? And also, I would like to know, what's your outlook for the second half? Are you expecting a gentler second half, in as much as the first half was, last year, the second half was very demanding? Look, if we consider last year, the combined ratio of last year, of course, you have to compare like for like. I mean, the first half was without XL. Now, if we take the whole group scope, with excluding XXL, our combined ratio last year was 94.5%, and now it goes to 93.3%. So it is a very significant improvement of 1.2 points. Hence, the excellent results that we're posting for this first half. Okay, and what about your outlook for the second half? Well, look, what I could possibly add is, of course, it all depends on Nat Cats, which we can't anticipate. Alban was mentioning earlier that in the first half, XL was absolutely on track with previous years, and so this general trend can be expected to continue, because we have been working hard in all the entities on these ratios. But obviously, it's going to depend on the level of natural catastrophes. And yet, we are very confident about our capacity to continue this general trend of our combined ratio, especially for 2019. Thank you, Mr. Harlin. Thank you. Next question from Thierry Bourdieu for New Actual Report. Good morning to you all. I have a question concerning France. I'd like to know how you explain that P&C is stagnating despite an improvement of the combined ratio. And also, I'd like to know what explains your excellent results in health. Is it more on individuals or is it corporate? Thank you for your question, and Jacques de Peretti will answer. Yes, thank you. You have noted that our combined ratios improved by 2 points, which is excellent, and that our revenues haven't grown this year. Revenues haven't grown because in the personal market, individuals, you know that we didn't want to give in to the price war that is taking place currently between the mutual insurance companies. And this has therefore led to a 0% improvement for us, even though we do ambition to come back on the market in the coming months and semesters, but our period for the car is going from this minus 4.4 and a half last year to minus 4 this year. So it's an improvement. In health, we're doing 6%, but here you have to consider two activities. One is the corporate activities, specifically speaking, in particular P&C to damages to property and cars and so on. And there we're growing by 3%. But there's another scope that we call credit life and protection, where we are continuing to restore the portfolio, and there we're down by about 15%. So all in all, it's down 0%. So to summarize, a stagnation of our revenues and an improvement of our combined ratio, which is particularly related to three factors, one being the CatNats, the others the attrition, natural attrition, improvement of our technical additional results, and lastly, better performance than in the past on the reserves. Thank you. Thank you, Jacques. And next question. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you that you have to press your star one. We have a question from the Lysical newspaper. Yes, good morning. For AXA XL, you are referring to a rise in the serious losses. Are these human losses, human damages, or is it related to the crash of Ethiopian Airlines and the crisis around the Boeing 737 MAX? Now, I have another question about France. Were you expecting a phenomenon of subsidence in the coming months because of the drought? And another question, what is the impact on AXA France of all the claims for other disasters? Now, I'll answer the first question concerning claims, and Jacques de Peretti will answer about drought and the yellow vests. Yes, good morning. What I can say is we are not used to comment on specific claims. But as the number one world insurance in commercial lines P&C, it's obvious that we are exposed. And we are working on the diversification. We put very strict limits to manage this diversification. And it is our business to be there for all our clients and when they have a claim. What I can say is that I said that we these are man-made claims, and we have a level that is somewhat higher than usual, but it's not something that is of particular concern to us. And you see that our earnings in the first half for AXA XL are perfectly good. And let me remind you, too, that we have an ultimate objective of having a contribution to earnings of 1.4 billion in 2020, and we confirm that objective. Jacques, now for the French questions. Yes, concerning drought and resilience, it's a bit early to really be able to appreciate this because the drought phenomenon is happening a little later than expected. Just bear in mind that in terms of NatCats, we've had a good first half because we are at 96 million euros for natural catastrophes in France for AXA compared to 154 for last year. And so we have a good margin there to be able to cope with problems relating to the drought. Concerning the gilets jaunes, the so-called yellow vests, you know that the impact is spread over two financial periods, one part in 2018, part in 2019, and we can say overall the impact will be less than 20 million euros. We haven't had exact figures yet, because some claims are still developing, in particular simply operating earnings for certain businesses that haven't been able to start up again. Thank you, and let's move to the next question.
Est-ce qu'il y a d'autres questions?
Any further questions?
Oui, allô?
Allô?
Bonjour.
Good morning. I have a question, Canoir Fanel. Go ahead. To pick up on the health market in France, what about the context of the meeting with the French president at the end of 2018? To what extent is this growth related to higher premiums or to the number of contracts, etc.? Jacques de Peretti will answer this question. Thank you for noting this rise of 6% in the health sector, which follows a 12% rise last year. Well, last year the rise was chiefly driven through the international arena by about 40%, and this year what is very interesting to note is that this rise individually and collectively, well, 6% in each case, it was balanced, and internationally and domestically, it was 6% in each case. So four engines are operating well, and they are the result of a team which is quite an expert in terms of pricing, sophistication, but also in terms of innovation. It is clear that having been a leader in telemedicine as from 2015 contributes a differentiating factor so that we can expand our portfolio now and our contracts in the so-called collective or individual worlds. Thank you, Jacques. Next question.
Jean-Claude Satier, madame, please go ahead. Catherine Chet, madame, your micro is open.
Hello.
Yes, you can speak.
Hi, thank you. I had a follow-up question on your ILS platform, New Ocean. In November, you said you were planning to grow this platform. I wondered how that was progressing and what the current level of funds under management is. And as a secondary part to that question, I wondered how the ILS operations of AXA IM might tie in with New Ocean.
Thank you very much for your question. Alban de Maynel will answer.
So, absolutely, we said that we would develop the amount of risk transfer to investors through ILS and New Ocean. This is in progress. Today, the amount is still stable compared to what you saw at the end of last year, because those are things that we implement rather in the framework of our reinsurance strategy. Nevertheless, we have significant discussions with a number of investors that are interested in the exposure to that asset class of insurance risks. So the discussions are well in progress.
And how might AXA IM tie in with this?
So AXA IM is fully part of it because you have two pieces. One is the origination piece, that is very much New Ocean, where you can go and really package and structure the risk. And the other part of it is the distribution part of it, and that is the role of AXA IM, amongst others, where we leverage the contact and the good relationship that we have to existing investors. And Gerald has spoken earlier about our very strong performance on the alternative assets. Those are typically the same investors that are also interested in the alternative capital.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Merci. Prochaine question de
Julien Marion from Dow Jones. Over to you, sir. Sorry for Mr. De Peritier. Regarding the yellow vest crisis, you said the impact would be less than 1 billion euros. If you heard properly, is that right? You also mentioned that you didn't know the current figure because there were some additional damage assessments. Well, the second question you didn't answer about AXA's position in regard to the 737 MAX aircraft crisis. Could you repeat the last part of your question, please? It was about the 737 MAX aircraft. This was not about the yellow vest. It's a question regarding the airline industry. This is about AXA XL. Well, certainly, we saw these tragic events, but you should understand that we are not here to speak about specific customers. AXA XL is a large insurer. We are also large in the aviation or airline business. Certainly, it concerns us as well as it is the case with others, but we cannot give you an insider confidential communication on the claims or that regard these customers. I hope you can understand this. What about the yellow vests? Jacques, over to you. Regarding the yellow vest, your understanding was absolutely right. It's 20 million for the two periods. Sorry for that. We have no further questions on the phone. We can move now to questions on AXA.com. A question from Lesimi Anna from Milizole. She wants a comment on the performance of the group in Italy.
Thank you for the question. And I'll hand over to Antimo Peretta, who is in charge of Europe, which also includes Italy. Antimo.
Yes, thank you very much for this question. The performance in Italy is continuing very well. We have growth in all the business lines that we're focused on in the group. And in addition, something very positive is the partnership that we have with our bank, which is also continuing very well, despite the fact that the market is rather declining. We have strong growth in unit linked and very strong growth in all our business sectors, which means we're very satisfied with the business in Italy. And if you take this into account and take into account the economic environment, we don't see any slowdown of the growth in the next months. Thank you, Antimo. Next question on AXA.com.
Good morning. Can you give us some more detail on the German market? How were the earnings here? Last year, you had good numbers in life insurance. Does this trend continue? And especially, what impact losing the Solva deal will have?
Thank you for that question. We will move to Antimo again, who is also responsible for the German market.
Thank you very much for this question. So in Germany, we are very well online. The earnings comes especially from our activity that we have in the health and in the P&C commercial line, also in retail, but more in commercial line health and P&C business.
Thank you very much. Je pense qu'il y a pas d'autres questions sur AXA.com. Est-ce qu'il y a...
I don't imagine any other questions on AXA.com. Are there any other questions online? It doesn't seem to be the case, in which case I would like to thank you for your attention and your questions, and I wish you all excellent summer vacation, and see you soon.